All right, welcome back into Better's Last Stand, Episode 5. We're here at the Pine Room, hoping we escape the rain today. Been an exciting week for us. We had a lot going on last week. We had Lauren the Better feature. I'm sure most of you listened to that. If you haven't yet, check that out. We had a nice outing at Scafidi's with some high school teams from Ohio and West Virginia last week. So we're going to do it again here at Generations on Wednesday, and should be a fun night, guys.
Yes, definitely. Scafidi's was a ball. I want to thank those teams again for being there, the five teams that showed up. I want to wish them the best of luck as the high schools crank it up 2 days from, when this comes out, it'll be...
The day of, right? Or no, we're Wednesday. Wednesday here on Better's Last Day.
So when this comes out, they'll open up tomorrow. So yeah, exciting time. Starting to cool down a little bit. Starting to have to wear a long sleeve shirt and... feel that that temperature dropping a little bit and starting to. Matt asked me earlier if that smell in the air, and I said when the temperature drops, and football's not far away, that smell, just that smell in the air, and I think it's about here.
Yeah, when we just had our second show down at WKKX, the Watchdog, that was really fun. Talked a lot of high school sports, mostly high school football actually, not any other sports yet. Maybe sometime, but went through betting lines for those games for fun. The guys made their picks. We analyzed, broke down the card. High school football in Ohio starts Thursday night, so check out some of the good matchups there. You can listen to that that archive show that we just did on the WKKX Watchdog website if you're interested. Luke, how you doing today? Did you have
fun
in great. There?
Yes, it was a blast. It was. It's always just great to get on live and just talk about high school sports and just talk about how the team is going to be this year. It was really fun.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a nice step away from talking about the Pirates and, even the Steelers and things like that. But, yeah, it was good. Thanks again to Rocky, Kayleen, and Howard and all the team down there at WKKX. They've been really nice to us. We've enjoyed it. That hour went really fast today. It was fun talking. We'll be doing it every week, so check us out 2 to 3 p.m. on Mondays on The Watchdog. Guys, weekend sports-wise, not a ton of excitement again, but we're starting to build up. We had preseason football kicking off. All those games, as Coach mentioned on our KKX show, the overs hitting 13-3.
13-3, and as you said, a lot of them weren't even close.
Yeah, they flew.
I mean, honestly, some of those games were over. You could tell they were going to go over in the first quarter. Those teams, don't know whether it's second-team defenses against the first-team offense that puts up quick points. Or what it is, but you said maybe the first team defenses might be playing.
I heard some interesting things about that because you were mentioning it the other day, and I thought I'd do a little bit of research. 90 plus plays, additional plays overall in all the games, so they're running more plays, so the tempo of the offenses have been higher. 150 more points scored, obviously, that's craziness. 2+ offensive plays more per game average. So they're running quicker plays. That's kind of what it's going to. Tempo, they thought that a lot of the coaches that would have settled for field goals in the regular season ended up going for it, which ended up in touchdowns or the drive either scored on it. On the fourth down, or they got a first down, which led to a score. That was kind of higher than they anticipated for a regular season where guys will settle for points a little bit more. And the other thing was tackling. A lot of these teams don't tackle during the practice. Yeah. And then you get these guys don't want to wrap up, and a guy shakes free. We're right at the sticks. And, you know how many times if you got the unders in these games, and you're just like, okay, they throw it 2 yards short on 3rd and 9, and the guy can't wrap up, and he slips free, and he gets 5 more yards first down, and then they end up scoring.
Yeah, and I had a lot of those games under the total. I just like preseason games under just for a simple fact. I think they're trying to – figure out their personnel, and they run the football a lot, but man, was I agonizing. Like you just said, I'd watch a guy catch a pass 7 yards short of the sticks, and I said, okay, we just held him, missed tackle, another missed tackle, and then Then they move the sticks again, and then as soon as you know, or before you know it, they're in the end zone again. That was was agonizing as an under bettor to watch that. But you have already alluded to the fact that they've the books have already
going through these totals just before we came on the broadcast here. Just seeing what they're opening up. Last week's opening average was 31.6. As a total, and it closed at 35.5. That was what they got bet up. They got bet up about 4 points every game.
I figured it was around 35 or 36.
Yeah, it closed about 35.57. And now, right now, just looking down this card really quickly, you got here's an opener 39 already to 41, 38 to 40, 36 to 38, 40 to 42. 40, 40, 42. Okay, so you're opening in the high 30s. All of them, almost every game except for two are into the 40s already for this weekend. So obviously bookmakers make the adjustment, and you as a bettor now need to come back and follow that sharp money, start seeing where it's going. You had some guys already busting up the overs early on, and that's a misconception that I wanted to mention from last week. I was going to talk about pro bettors love the preseason. They're like the really good ones.
Yes.
The coaches are going to tell you who's playing. They're going to tell you the game plan, and you're going to see major moves on these points spreads and especially the totals, because these guys have basically they've been told what's going to happen in the game. So they're firing, and these big syndicates where you'll have a group of basically investors, people will throw their money together as pros, and they'll make the bets. They'll go and hit it at every book they can get it, and these guys clean up. You'll see more pro bettors making bets in the preseason than you will during the regular season, because most of the seasoned pros who are honest, they'll tell you it's very hard to beat the NFL in the regular season.
Oh, absolutely.
Extremely hard. Yes. They'll find their success in college. They have, you know, because there's so many games in college, you're bound to find a couple of, you know, suspect numbers maybe that you can jump on early. Information's harder to get sometimes. But in the preseason, the NFL, these guys do really well. So keep an eye on that. Like I was talking about, go on the Wager Talk site, check out the lines, how they move, the money that's going on each side of them, and see if you can't find some good value this week. And as Coach and I were talking, maybe it's time to start coming in on a little bit on the unders this week. The first team defenses could be playing a little bit more this week, and you know, never know. Luke, what do you think?
What I've been watching over the weekend, it's just they're hyping up all these players that they're going to be great in the NFL, but we don't realize that some of these quarterbacks and all that just got drafted, and all these players that got drafted, they're going against second and third team defenses. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't hype them up and say they're going to be really good, because a good example is Kenny Pickett. He had a great game, but, I mean, he's going against a third string defense. I mean, I just can't – I can't give him any hype yet. I thought it was a horrible pick still. So
yeah, I would agree. Now I saw his average completion was 6 yards.
Like, yeah.
You know, that's not going to win anything on a Sunday in the fall. So, yeah. Coach, any other observations from the weekend?
Everybody high on Kenny Pickett. I mean, really, really high. And I mean, like Luke said, that's way early to be sending out the Hall of Fame ballots on him.
I mean,
come on. You know, like when he gets into real games, like you said, and he's got to go to Baltimore, he's got to go to Cleveland, you know, he's got to go on the road to some of these hostile environments and some of these the first team defense. It's going to be. I'm not saying he's not going to be good.
Right.
But I think the hype on him right now is a little much.
And reading defenses here in a few weeks is going to be totally different than the other night when he got going against guys who are just barely trying to make the roster.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a little bit more vanilla of a game. And one of the keys, too, to those games is not being able to get off the field on third down, which we just talked about being able to make stops. But that changes a lot, because that's where you'll see the good teams. And you start looking at third down efficiency, to me, was always some key thing that when you're taking in account. Quarterback and third down efficiency is kind of like where I go as a bettor on a Sunday, even though it's still really hard, obviously. But you may be able to find a little value with that, because the teams that can convert on third down on offense and the ones that can stop people a little bit on defense are the ones who are going to be in there to cover spreads. It's just, you know, it's just the way it's going to work. So, I mean, some of those rookies had decent times. There's still some other ones that were horrible. Was it Corral was horrendous? Wasn't he like 1 for 9 or something? Yeah, he was really bad. I don't know. I think it's funny. Jimmy Garoppolo is just sitting around like no one wants him. I think the Browns will end up making a move on him, hopefully for their sake.
Seahawks need him.
Yeah, I doubt they'll trade him in the division, but yeah, you never know. But I just find it funny that all the teams are satisfied with their quarterback situation right now. No one's making a move on him yet. I find strange, because he is better. I'm not saying he's great, but he's better than a lot of the guys that are playing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're gonna talk about the NFC East today, which has some interesting quarterback
very interesting
positions. You know, you're talking Carson Wentz. How's he going to be? Dak Prescott. This is, you know, this is probably a make or break season for him and them. So and Jalen Hurts. They've surrounded him with some really good receivers, which we're going to talk about. So I think that division has some all the divisions have some quarterback issues, except you're solid guys. But I think, you know, you're going to see, as you said, I can't believe all these teams are settled in with the quarterback that they have. Like, it's going to be interesting that with the Steelers with Trubisky and Pickett.
Yeah, you know, they're getting a lot of pressure to play the young guy early, but I don't know. I don't know if that makes much sense.
I like Trubisky. I think he did well. I think he should be the clear starter.
Yeah,
right now.
I agree. And I didn't think Mason Rudolph was as terrible as everybody thinks. He's a decent backup, I think. But yeah, it'll be. I don't know what to think about Mike Tomlin.
You never know. But I and another interesting little tidbit from you guys will get a kick out of this. I don't know if this is you, Job, or Jarrett said this to me that. When you said, Matt, I think it was 8-0 at one point. The games
first
were,
eight
the,
were
the,
over.
The, yeah, do you know what the first game that went under?
The Chiefs, right?
Against who?
Bears. The Bears and under. Yeah. And I told Champ, for those of you who don't know, Champ, all his famous slogan is Bears and under, I don't give a fuck. And he says it all the time when the Bears had that daunting defense with Brian Urlacher and all that stuff. And he's been saying it for years. So we actually thought Jubb should make a shirt that has him saying that. But yeah, Bears and under.
I just got a kick out of that because I think it was Jarrett that did it. And I didn't even think about it. And he said, that's Champ, Bears and under.
Bears and under.
And it was 8-0. And that was the first game. Yeah. So I said, there's Champ rearing his ugly head about the Bears and under.
Maybe not anymore with losing Roquan Smith.
Yeah, that's a big – but Bears, boy, when we talk about that division, oh, boy, the Bears. They might be the worst team in the league.
That's going to be a bad situation, the Bears.
Yeah. But anyway, as Mark mentioned, coming up on the show today, we got the NFC East preview, and then we're going to talk some SEC football. Anything else betting-wise from the weekend, guys? Golf or NASCAR? Treat you all right, Coach?
Golf, I was a little better than even. I did fairly well. Cameron Smith, he faded a little bit on me in on Sunday, but you know, he's pushing to be the number one golfer in the world now.
And then he's got the live and stuff going on around him.
And Scheffler didn't even make the cut in this.
Smith pulled out of the tournament this week with a hip problem.
Man. Oh, okay.
I just saw that this afternoon.
But golf, you know, Finau's on fire right now.
Yes,
Tony
playing
Finau,
very well.
Tony Finau's playing really well. So I split out a little bit there. And then NASCAR, I split out I usually bet against a couple of guys, and they hurt me a little bit. But
well, Kurt Busch hasn't been in 3 weeks, so you haven't been able to fade Kurt Busch, which is your go-to.
No, I bet against a couple other guys, but it was good. And some of the tracks are more fun than others. This track was decent. But
Richmond's all right. I mean, a lot of times guys burn up brakes, and the tires continue to be an issue.
I like Martinsville better than
I'd agree. Kevin Harvick wins back-to-back, which is crazy. He hadn't won in like 60-some races.
Yeah, so I think there's, what, two more races?
Yeah, and then we're into the playoffs.
What do we got? We got Daytona is...
Daytona Road? Or
it's 2 weeks. What's coming up this week? Chris, do you know that, by the way?
Dang it, I had it on the notes.
NASCAR race, what, this week? Do you know...
Watkins Glen, yeah, that's right. So a good road course there, yep.
Yeah, and then I think they end the regular season with Daytona. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know if they would do back-to-back road courses or not.
No, I thought it was
They wouldn't do Daytona, the big speedway, yet. But,
you know what? Is it Talladega?
Could be. Yeah, because Talladega used to have no, you're right. Coke Zero 400, yeah. That's the following week. Yeah, you're right. It's Daytona. Yeah,
it is Daytona.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
The speed.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, so that's
okay.
Great.
So there's
two
races left, and I think there's one big battle.
It's Blaney and Truex battling it out for that last playoff spot. And Kevin Harvick by winning. So those guys, for those of you who don't follow NASCAR, if you win, as long as there's not so many winners that you can't, the field exceeds. You automatically get into playoffs. So right down to it, Kevin Harvick won back-to-back weeks. So if you're not one of the guys that is in there yet, at least the guy that already had won, won. So that, it doesn't take another spot away from
but
him.
They did say there was a chance with three right. races left that a guy that had won could might be out, not get
right.
in.
But I think that's done now since
because Harvick was a repeat.
Was a repeat.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So I think everybody that's won is in. And then obviously there's some guys still fighting for, I believe, that last spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
It was. I think it's basically between Blaney and Truex. Unless a guy sneaks in out of nowhere and wins. So you know you'll be seeing guys gamble too next week, literally on the track, taking questionable pit strategies, things like that, trying to stretch in on gas or short pit or something like that to try to win that race. So should be good. Watkins Glen always provides excitement anyway. So. We'll look forward to that one.
And then I took a major blow. And as I don't know whether Matt mentioned or not, but on our scroll on our scrolling board up here, we have the picks that we've given on the first four shows. Our best picks out of each college conference, out of the each NFL division. So you can check those out and follow those and see how we do. But I took a major blow because I loved Wake Forest over their win total and. Quarterback Sam Hartman, who was probably a Heisman contender, is out with a non-football injury. I don't think we still know.
Still
what
don't.
That is.
Yeah, Wake Forest is being pretty quiet to respect his privacy, so it sounds like it could be something serious. But they expect him back this year. Luke, are you hearing anything about that?
Yeah, I was just going to wonder. I was actually going to ask you: is the total going down like heavy? Or
yeah, people were betting it. It already went down to 7.5 in most spots. So yeah, it's taken a lot. But a lot of places took it off the board for a while because they knew they were going to get. Just crushed. I heard Bay's boy Brad Powers saying he was running to the kiosk in the middle of the night out in Nevada to pound Wake Forest under bets at 8.5 before the books moved in.
Well, I mean, so. I can see why now because Sam Hartman was the real deal. But hopefully he comes back. Hopefully he's okay.
Yeah, hopefully he's all right.
And hopefully my bet can still come through. But now I have my doubts about that being able to get over the number. So
any bad beats for either one of you guys? Anything you followed over the weekend? There was some baseball.
I had a good beat actually. I had the Giants against the Pirates yesterday. the money line, and they were a heavy favorite, and they dicked around and lost the lead. They were up 5-0, and then the Pirates went up 6-5, and then of course in the typical Pirate. Fashion, they let a pop-up drop between a short center fielder and second baseman and tied the game, and then the Pirates take a lead on the Giants in the top of the ninth when Longoria throws a slow roller into the right field, and then of course the Pirates give up two-run walk-off homer. So I was on a good end of a bad beat yesterday.
That game was a roller coaster,
which doesn't happen much.
If you had Giants money line though. Ugh. God, you had to be pissed.
Oh, Jesus, I was a mess, and I got bailed out. But to watch the Pirates, we all talk about it, it's just painful to watch.
It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. And if any of those guys, Charrington or Nutting or Shelton, thinks they're going in the right direction, they are so blind. It's just a train wreck. They're a train wreck. Key Brian Hayes never plays. We were talking about that before the show. He's always hurt. I don't think the shortstop, his name slips my mind. O'Neal Cruz is going to be what everybody – I mean, he's got some tools, there's no doubt. But
he strikes out a lot.
I think that he reminds me a little bit of Polanco at the plate.
Very raw.
So I don't
Pirates never seem to develop these guys. They never get better when they play for the Pirates.
What's exciting about the Pirates? You have not one pitcher that's exciting. They're defensively a train wreck. Yeah. I mean, they can't score. I'd like to know what the run differential is this year. It was like in hundreds at one point.
It's not pretty.
Yeah, so they're just as diehard Pirate fans, we were diehard. It's depressing, and I can't even pull myself to root for him.
Baseball's starting to get interesting. You got some pennant races shaping up, and still some bad beats. I this was one that I wanted to mention on here. The game, I think it was Friday night's game, the Yankees and Red Sox. The Yankees were leading 2-1 in the ninth inning, and the Red Sox ended up tying it and winning it in the 10th 3-2. But Boston had been 0-45 on the season when trailing entering the ninth inning, and they got the Yankees.
Unbelievable.
0-45 and 0-48 Going back into last year, trailing in the ninth inning.
I'm still not sold on the Yankees.
No.
I am not.
Now, their bullpen's starting to show some signs of you know, fatigue, so that's not good.
And they go through stretches where they can't score.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Nick, they got a big series coming with the Rays now.
Nick keeps giving me the over on them, and they go in the fifth inning every game with no runs yesterday.
Yeah.
I bet the first five innings yesterday in that game under. I love that game under with Michael Walker. Who was pitching for the Yankees?
Tyon.
Yeah, I love that game under in five innings. It was 1-0. That's one of the easiest ones I've ever had.
Yeah.
I mean, and they just can't score.
Yeah, it's strange with a lineup like that. Nick keeps saying they're banged up, but I'm not seeing it.
Okay.
Just because Stanton's been out, but
I'm not sold on their three star. I don't think Cortez. I know he was an All Star, but I don't think he's that good. I think Gerrit Cole is the most overrated pitcher in the league.
Luke, same.
And I also think Taillon. I mean, we saw what he did for the Pirates. He sucks. Every time
he's okay.
Yeah, he's not very.
He's
good.
A number three or four.
He has a good. What is he? 12-3 or something?
Yeah, he's got a good record, but I mean. Most guys would have a decent record on that team, you would think anyway. But, baseball just continues to just terrorize you as a better. Just the bad beats. I mean, just another game that I wanted. Dodgers-Royals was scoreless in the bottom of the seventh. It finished 8-3 Dodgers. I mean, if you have that game under nine, you got to be thinking, I'm in a decent spot. And then, boom, here it goes.
And we talked to Lauren the better you know, last week, and we talked about baseball, and she was on the same page as us. She hates baseball. She's just betting it now because really there's nothing else to bet on.
Yes.
Because baseball is literally impossible, and I think we attribute to that that they play so much.
Yes. Yeah,
they play so many games, and some of them are fatigued. Some guys get fatigued. Yeah. The pitcher, whatever.
Your motivation to show up at the ballpark if you're on some of these teams?
Oh, dear God.
I mean, the one guy just had his cell phone flying out of his pants, sliding into third for the Pirates. He just got called up. I mean, I don't know. Maybe some of these September call-ups will liven it up.
It was the fourth inning, and some dude said, when you sit down, couldn't you? It'd be like Champ having his phone in his shoe.
Yeah.
Can't you feel it when you sit down? If I had my phone in my back pocket and I sat down, I'm going to realize.
You usually know it's there.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a soft cushion where you don't realize. No. It's the hard piece of material that you're going to feel. Like, and he slides in, and like the umpire was like, whoa, what is that?
Umpire, third base coach.
He points down to it. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, just another embarrassing moment for the Pirates. Well, one of many.
He's actually batting unbelievable, though, after that. He's like, he's probably like 5-for-8 in his last like 8 at bats, so he's actually, maybe it might help him. Rodolfo Castro.
Yeah, Castro.
Yeah, he'll be.
Yeah, and I get a cell phone commercial now.
He'll probably be DFA'd by, by October.
I thought maybe the next morning he might
I hope Van Meter is at least.
Yeah, that's some bad.
That's Chris's guy.
So anyway, we're going to talk, as everybody says, the SEC, the big boy conference. Yeah. You know, we're gonna hit on that, and some interesting stats about the SEC that we'll talk about here in a little bit. But I'm excited to talk about the SEC. And when I talk about the SEC, that really to me gets the football bloods flowing.
That's why we saved him for towards the end.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just different football. You know, I've been to see. I went to see LSU play Florida and Florida play Georgia, and it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat to you know, be involved in the SEC because it's just, you know, you can say what you want about it, but it is different football.
It's
different. I'm excited to talk about them today because there's some teams I really like, some teams that are like a little off the radar, but I think could be really make some noise.
Should be good. We're going to get into the SEC right after this break. You're watching Bettor's Last Stand.
Reminder, Bettor's Last Stand is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. You're watching Bettor's Last Stand.
We're back here on Bettor's Last Stand, Episode 5. We're going to dive into the SEC here, everybody's favorite conference, I guess, in a way. Exciting games every week. So without further ado, let's get into Alabama. Crimson Tide, Luke was just mentioning off the air, Do you see any weaknesses for this team in 10.5? Just seems like a almost a lock to me to go over. What are you guys thinking? A
couple interesting stats about the SEC before we dive into Alabama. 6 out of the last 10 national champs have been from the SEC. So that tells you about the power in that conference. But they are very top heavy, and I'm going to throw one out to you guys. Now, not top 25, top 20. Top 20, coaches poll, top 20. What conference has the most teams in the top 20?
Oh.
What people are going to say right away?
You would imagine the SEC, but yes. No. Is it them?
Nope.
Oh, okay, because I wouldn't.
In the top 20, they only have three. Now in the top 25, they have five.
It's the Big Ten.
Ten?
Nope.
ACC.
ACC. That's exactly right. Oh. ACC, Clemson's 4, NC State's 13. Pitt 16, Miami 17,
Chubb
and Wake
total guess
19. Good job, Job, and you say you don't follow this stuff.
You've been dialing in.
I thought that was a shocking stat that
give them a few weeks to those when they start doing those playoff rankings. The SEC will have 20 teams in there. Like they'll just pound. Guys will be voting for Florida and Auburn to get in. Just I feel like that by the end of the year, the SEC strength of schedule is so high because of all those teams that are ranked. But
the only problem with the SEC is they beat each other up. That's the only – uh-oh, I just spilled my beverage. That's the only problem with the SEC, that they play very difficult schedules. But anyway, I want to throw that out before we dive into Alabama, the Crimson Tide. Our boy Nick Saban, he's up
West
here –
West Virginia zone.
He's up here on our – on our wall of fame. He was gracious enough to send us a picture.
You think he really autographed that?
Absolutely.
We even got his number.
Yeah, he actually did because
and he sent his card too. We could call him.
Yeah, we'll call him. He's a fan of his picture's on the wall down at Muriel's down there in Fairmont too. Knows a good restaurant.
I think Saban's a down to earth guy. I think he's just a cool guy. He's got a lot of West Virginia roots. I think he's a cool guy, and I bet down the road if he had some free time and we said, hey, could you come on our podcast, and we're West Virginians, we're just trying to build, I bet Saban would give us 5 minutes of his time. I really believe that. But anyway,
it's very possible.
The Tide. Here's my take on the Tide. Here's what I want to tell everybody. Bet them in the first half against the spread.
Right.
I love them. If you follow Alabama, they put the pedal down early.
Right. And last year was kind of a hiccup for them.
They did not cover many.
Because the year before that, they covered almost every half.
Every game.
The books couldn't put them high enough.
35-0.
Quarter, half.
35-0. And then sometimes the other team would cover.
Right.
Because they would end up winning 42-14. Because
I don't think Saban would humiliate. Most of those guys were his old assistants.
And Saban doesn't give a shit about running a score up.
Except for the one game, I'll tell you right now, Texas A&M, if he gets a chance to run it up on them.
He's going to load.
He'll score 80 if he can.
Yeah, and like Luke said, who do you see on their schedule? I mean, who do you see beating them?
I thought two games they could potentially lose, at Ole Miss and then maybe the rival game against Auburn, and that's saying something because Auburn's not very good. I don't think anybody else can beat him. I think they'll demolish Texas A&M. I think he's probably preparing for that
game
right now. And
that's at home,
too. Yes. They have revenge, and then mouthy Jimbo, who hasn't won shit in his life, he's thinking he's going to talk down to the big dog, so good luck there, Jimbo.
They're a two-touchdown-plus favorite in every game.
Right. Oh, for sure.
Easy, yeah.
And you look at their lineup, the All-Americans they have, it's
unbelievable.
The draft picks. I don't know how they're going to lose. I mean, I know, like you said, Matt, 11.5 is...
Or 10.5 mostly. I mean, that's...
I have it at 11.
I mean,
so.
I just don't see any way that they don't get there unless they would have injuries of some sort. But even that. I mean, he even said... That last year was a rebuilding year, and people that are close to the program saying this is the best team they've ever had, if that's even possible.
I mean, you cannot play them under 11.
No,
you can't do it.
You'd be silly to do
something. You're wasting your money.
That.
But it's tough to bet them over 11 if they have one hiccup like they did last year against A&M.
And, I mean, they got, like Luke said, they got Will Anderson back. I mean, he might be the best player in the country defense.
They got
the
best player on defense and best player on offense in the country.
Yeah.
And Bryce Young and Will Anderson. And then we forget they got Eli Ricks, the transfer from LSU, the good cornerback who could be a first-round pick.
Absolutely.
They also landed Jermaine Burton, who was Georgia's top 2020 receiver in yards. And then they get Jahmyr Gibbs, who is the all-purpose yards leader last year from Georgia Tech. Yep. It's just never-ending with them.
Embarrassment of riches. So.
Yeah, I was looking the top 10 NFL talent. Out of the top 10, four of them are from Alabama.
Yeah.
The top 10 NFL talents
out this year.
Yes, four out of the top 10 are from Alabama. So, I mean, defensively, they're going to be unbelievable. You know, offensively, that's what are you going to say now? And I could see them in Georgia again.
Yeah, slugging it out again.
Now, Ohio State throws a little caveat in there, but besides those three,
they might stand alone right now.
It is. Yep. So, I mean.
Yep, so we're all in unanimous decision on Bama.
It's like if you talk about Alabama, it's like Captain Obvious kind of stuff, you know? Everybody knows how good they're going to be.
I don't anticipate anything to go wrong unless they have injuries, but they have depth too. So pound the tide in the quarters and the halves, I think is the best advice. I think that's probably due to bounce back, and obviously 10.5 or 11 if you get that.
If you can get 10.5,
yeah.
If you can get 10.5, I'd say pound that over.
Absolutely.
I pound it, but I got it at 11, and I didn't do anything with it because I just – one hiccup and you push, but it's worth it because the least you would do is push. But you know, I if you can get a 10.5, I'm saying lay it heavy.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, moving on to the defending national champs here. That's not very often when the national champs don't get talked about first, I guess, in the conference. But Georgia Bulldogs coming off an unbelievable season last year. They pretty much did everything right. They were awesome, but they are depleted by the NFL draft, which happens when you're that good. They should be good again. A lot of new faces, especially on defense. The win total 10.5 for them as well. I thought their schedule came up very easy, so I think that works in their favor. So what do you guys think?
The only games I see maybe that they could struggle with is maybe Florida. A little bit, and then they got to go to Kentucky.
I think that's a dangerous game.
At Kentucky?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Was the game. If they serve, I think they'll probably beat Oregon. I mean, Oregon's still not a bad team, but I think they should beat them down in Atlanta. I thought that they win the rest until maybe Kentucky. But they get Samford, South Carolina, Kent State, Missouri, Auburn, Vanderbilt all in a row. I mean, you talk about some chances to get well real fast. They're going to be just crushing those teams. Luke, what are you thinking?
I think this team is going to be really good. I mean, Stenson Bennett, I feel like he's a quarterback that can just get the job done, especially that tight end room is deep with Eric Gilbert, Darnell Washington, Brock Bowers.
Yeah, that Bowers dude is just a badass.
The secondary is really good, too. That's going to be the leading part of that defense.
Yeah, because they lost so much with the linebacker and D-line areas. But, yeah, I expect them to be very good.
And I do. On opening Saturday, I am definitely betting Georgia over Oregon. I think them
– Yeah. That line keeps going up a little.
Yeah, I think it's up 16.
I've seen a 17
and
a half.
I think they will hammer Oregon. I don't think Oregon will have a chance in that game. So I like Georgia week one.
Yeah, 17 and a half, Coach.
17
total,
and a half.
Total 51.
Eh, I don't like that hook much. I could see it being, you know, a 31-14 game. So that hook could, and a backdoor cover. That scares me a little bit, but I am going to bet Georgia in week one.
What with Oregon? I think they will. I think they'll absolutely roll Oregon. I think that line is so fishy that honestly, they might beat them by like 30-40.
I think you might be right, but I think the reason is that is just because of the new guys for Georgia. I do think that's being taken into account. And even though it's not on their campus, it's in Atlanta, so they're going to have a very, very big home field or home crowd advantage. So I would expect. I think Georgia over 10.5, if you can get it, is a really good bet.
I agree with that,
and I definitely wouldn't recommend an under in any capacity. Their schedule is just too easy. They can probably just play average and win a lot of these games. So, I think both those teams probably, if you had to pencil win the SEC championship, you probably lean Bama, Georgia right out of the chute.
I would say put your money on that.
Yep. All right, moving on to another guy from West Virginia, Jimbo Fisher.
You guys don't
Texas
like this
A&M.
Team.
I'm not a fan of this guy. I've never liked him at all.
Luke, you hate him.
I'm
I
not
think
a fan.
That he's overrated. I don't think he's really won anything. He had the 1 year he had Jameis Winston. Other than that, Luke, I'll turn it to you. I don't find this team very good. 8.5 wins is their season win total. So,
listen, this is the issue with Texas A&M. Like I said, I say it every week. They have a quarterback battle with three people right now.
Sure.
You got to name a quarterback. It's just it's not going to work like that. I mean, I know they got Max Johnson, transfer from LSU. They got some recruit. They had a 5-star quarterback come in, but it's just not going to work. So they had a great recruiting class, but A&M, Jimbo Fisher can't win big games. He's known for that. I don't think he'll ever win a national championship there until he's there. And A&M heavy under.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Honestly, if you look at their schedule is very, very difficult. Week three, they got your Hurricanes. I mean, that's going to be a tough,
be a big test for
matchup
for
them. They got to go to Mississippi State. That's going to be a real test. I look for Mississippi State to beat them there. And then, they got to go to Alabama the next week. So how's
good
that?
Luck.
How's
good
that?
Luck with that.
And then he got to go to South Carolina.
Right.
That won't be easy.
No.
And then
Auburn.
And then they got to go to Auburn, and they got LSU at home.
Right.
So their schedule is very, very difficult. I'm with you guys. I got the number at 9. I don't see them reaching nine.
I think, just from my perspective, being someone who books bets, take a look at these Texas A&M numbers each week. They have a very inflated power rating. And as Luke just mentioned, that quarterback's definitely a concern. And when you have a carousel like that, it could take them a while to stabilize. I would be jumping on dogs with points in some of these games. I know it's tough to take Sam Houston or Appy State, but they'll be probably close to a touchdown favorite against Miami, maybe 5.5, maybe if there's a little respect to Miami, depending on how bad they beat these teams, if they look like they have a quarterback candidate that's emerged. But take a look at teams. When they get into the SEC schedule, look at trying to take some points if you can get like 3 or 4 touchdowns in the hook, because I think that A&M's power rating is going to be much higher than it actually should be based on the personnel they have. That's my advice, is take advantage of some of these bigger spreads than you would think. Like right now, some of the games of the year, they're laying 7.5 against LSU. I don't know how good LSU would be, but I would consider taking that right out of the gate if you can get it. It's the last game of the year. But I don't know. I expect Texas A&M to be okay because of talent, but not one of the top teams in the country. By
I would not be afraid to take App State getting 18 against A&M either.
Yeah.
App State has a history of pulling an upset.
Yes.
They beat Michigan at Michigan like 3 years ago.
At the Big House.
Yes, at the Big House. And they are traditionally a very tough –
They're well coached and
so
just fundamentally sound.
I wouldn't hesitate to take App State getting 18 points against A&M.
I agree. I think if you can get that, if you can get it to 17 in the hook or higher than that, take it if you can, because I think it's worth a shot. Mm-hmm. Luke, closing thoughts on the Aggies?
Under. Just people take it under.
Under 8.5. Yes. I'd be leery of that, but I mean, if I had to pick, I would say under. I had them between 6 and 8. I thought just their talent. They may go on a run later in the year, but I'm not thinking that they can hang with a Georgia or an Alabama. So we shall see. They may prove us wrong, but that's what's fun about doing this.
Yep,
is you can
absolutely.
Just make your predictions and see how they turn out. Moving on to another team that I'm not.
I'm excited to talk about Tennessee.
Tennessee Volunteers. Luke, go ahead, start us off.
Well, I mean, I know the quarterback Hendon Hooker is he's good and all that, and they got the USC receiver Brew McCoy transfer, but this defense is atrocious.
Yes.
First of all, their fans are frauds. Tennessee, they're just a bunch of frauds. They always will be. They'll never be relevant ever again. They just need to get over it. They throwing stuff on the field. They're a bunch of babies. I just don't like Tennessee.
The bad look, sour grapes, so they say. There's other ways to phrase it, but yeah, they've been a program. And Chris, who was here watching the show, he always mentioned when they got rid of Philip Fulmer, this program just went downhill, and they've never got back that luster that they had.
Yeah, and some people say taking Hooker at I think he's 80-1 for the Heisman wouldn't be a bad little play. And Luke, you mentioned him. I think he's going to be very good.
Yeah.
But I've never been a Tennessee fan, ever. I struggle to bet them. I don't do well with them. I see them not getting to 8 wins. I really do. They got to go to LSU. They play Alabama. They got to go to Georgia. They got to go to South Carolina. They play Pitt.
They got to go to Pitt.
They got to go to Pitt game two. They play Florida. I don't see them getting to 8 wins. I really don't.
Yeah, no. And that Pitt game they played last year was kind of a shootout. I think it was like 75 points in the game or something like that. So that could be a good game. I just thought this team was just not buttoned up enough. I just don't trust them, like Luke was saying and like you were saying, Coach. Heupel's, I think he does a decent job getting talent, but I don't know. They just feel like they're missing some key components to me when they play. I don't trust them betting them. I just, like Luke said, the defense is just, you can't count on them. I'm anti-Tennessee. I would stick with the under 7.5 or just pass on them.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts on the Vols? You don't like the song Rocky Top, do you, Luke?
No.
I do like that song. I do like the song. I do like their end zone.
Yes, you know, I agree with that, Coach.
So I do like both of those things, but I don't like their team.
The only good thing about Tennessee is the colors.
Their colors are solid.
Yeah. They used to have a good women's basketball program there. Kelly Jolly's back coaching now, so that's pretty cool. She's an alum. So moving on to another team that you get mixed thoughts on this team, the Arkansas Razorbacks. Some people like them. Some people hate them. What are we thinking on the Pigs here? Anybody? 7.5 win total for the Pigs.
They were 9-3 against the spread last year, so they were very solid against the spread. So and I think they're pretty good. First game.
That's gonna be a great game. Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's
coming to their place, and they're like a touchdown favorite in that game, I believe, the last that I looked.
Is it up that high?
Yeah, it was getting pretty high.
I like them.
Are you on Arkansas pretty good, Luke?
Yeah, I like Arkansas a lot.
Against Cincinnati?
Yeah. Cincinnati lost so much. And I think that was a 1 year. They just had one good year.
Yeah, and you know, besides Alabama, they got to go to BYU. They got to go to Auburn. Liberty could be a question mark in the middle. Liberty's, you know, that could be a test for them. They got them at home. But, you know, look at the SEC. You're going to always find tough games in there. So, I don't know. I like Arkansas a little bit over that total of 7 wins, but I'm not sold on it.
Yeah, I was kind of in the middle on them. 6 to 8 wins I thought they could do. I would stay away from betting interest. I'm anxious to see. That Cincinnati game will be a good test for both of those teams to see where they come out, and then they get a couple easy games, and they got to take on A&M and Bama back to back. Good luck with that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, Coach Pittman better be preparing extra.
I like him though. I think he's a good dude. I think he's a great coach. I think he gets a lot out of those guys. So I like them over that total a little bit.
They'll probably be one of those teams that it's going to hang around in some games and can definitely knock some people off. You know, they got LSU and Ole Miss at home late in the year. They could probably win one or both of those games, I guess. But, keep an eye on the Razorbacks. None of us feel great about anything about them, but kind of
good
anxious.
Quarterback play.
Yeah, kind of just wait-and-see approach on Arkansas. Yeah. Moving on to Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. Again, another team kind of get – very, very mixed reviews on them. They got good talent. Kiffin's kind of finding his legs as a coach now. Dangerous team. I mean, they've tested Alabama in recent years. Yeah. At least they've proven they can score. And their defense is expected to be much better this year. So, Luke, you have any thoughts on the Rebels?
They did land USC's transfer quarterback Jackson Dart and that running back from TCU, Zach Evans. They're both highly recruited out of high school, and I expect them to be a big key part of the offense this year. But again, I'm gonna go back to the defense. It's just such a big question mark. Why I wouldn't take anything here. I wouldn't take the over or the under just because of that defensive question mark.
Have you seen anything? Because I have read that they've supposedly improved, but like we said with Texas A&M, that doesn't translate into results. So.
Yeah,
Coach.
If Ole Miss can get out of the gate, if they can get by Kentucky in game five.
Yeah.
There's a chance they could be 6-0 going into Auburn, and if they could beat Auburn, they could be 7-0 going. In, now they right. got then they get then
murderer's
gets,
row.
Yeah, then they got to go to LSU. They got to go to A&M. Then got Bama. Then they got to go to Arkansas and end with Mississippi State.
That's a really tough ending of the schedule, right there.
So they better you know come out 6-1 or 7-0 going into LSU,
right?
Or That is definitely going to be
right.
an under.
And if you can get them 6-0, you got a decent shot at the over 7.5 that they're posted right now. You know, you need to win two games. But that's easier said than done, as we just went over. Those last five games they have are all games where, well, they'll be favored in a couple of them. But just, yeah, tough games. Not going to be easy to put up W's.
Are you guys Lane Kiffin fans?
Yes.
I'm mixed on him. He's grown on me a little bit. I didn't used to like him, but he's grown on me.
He relates to kids these days really well, so I think he'll recruit well for a while.
Yeah, I think he's got a good thing going there. He's done a nice job. I'm glad he's sticking there because, you know, every time there's an opening in a nice, better weather place or a bigger city, he's always talked about. So he's sticking there, you know, living in Oxford, I'm sure is interesting. But, So, it should be interesting to see how the Rebels do this year.
You know, Matt Corral's gone, so they got to replace him at quarterback. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
To see how that works out. So I don't know. The first part of their schedule is going to tell whether they can get past that, get over that win total.
So that Dart kid, is he going to be their QB?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so he's pretty highly touted, but I don't know. I guess we'll see what he can do. He's coming to the big time now, so.
Yep.
Coming out east, and he's going to have but he'll have some games early in the year to get himself going, get himself settled in. So, all right, moving on to, oh, boy, Luke's. LSU, the Tigers. Brian Kelly heads down south practicing his southern accent, which is really weird. But, Luke, got to start with you on this one. What are you thinking? Honest thoughts on the Tigers. Win total posted currently at 7 right now.
All right, listen, I like the addition of quarterback with Jaden Daniels from Arizona State, but they did lose 4 starters on the offensive line and a secondary that is depleted. But this team, I mean, their schedule's not easy, obviously, if you're in the SEC, but their schedule's not easy. And I don't think he'll be successful down in SEC country. I just don't think he's the coach to be in the SEC, especially at LSU. That's a winning program. I know he did a lot of good things for Notre Dame. He won down there, but I just don't think he doesn't have, like, I don't know, I just don't think he's an SEC kind of coach. So, yeah, I don't like you, Brian Kelly. You did it wrong. You went out on a wrong way. Just, you shouldn't have did that to our players, to the university. It was just wrong what you did, and I hope you watch this, and I hope you feel bad.
I hope he watches it, too.
That'd be great. But we're going to leave it up to Jeff and Luke, diehard Notre Dame fans, to see what we do with Brian Kelly's autograph picture back here that he sent to the Pine Room. We don't know whether we're going to burn it or let Champ use it as a plate with his chip and dip.
I like that one.
Let him use it as a plate.
I can use it as
that'd be more.
We could put a target on there and do some paintball shooting at it or something.
Yeah, that'd be more disturbing though to watch Champ eat a hell of a dip on Brian Kelly's head,
his nose.
Yeah, I think. I'll take a little different point of view on this. I think LSU always has players, so it's going to matter if he can relate to him and if he can get anything out of him. I do think he's a good coach. I expect LSU to be a little bit better than people think. I'm anxious to see where bookmakers will have them spread-wise early in the season. That to me is a very interesting. Will they get the respect that they're LSU and Brian Kelly, or will they be taken lightly and saying, well, their roster's kind of getting overhauled? I'm anxious to see. I'm thinking if Brian Kelly as an underdog was always a dangerous thing, so I think pay attention to those spreads. I'm not saying they'll be dogs in the first game, probably not, and then obviously the second game. But whenever they're a dog, I'd keep an eye on them. Kelly, I had a note, 28-10 ATS as a dog, so that's strong. So keep an eye on those spreads, and we'll see what they do.
Game one is going to be interesting for both those teams to see how that plays out. It's I believe that game's in New Orleans.
Yes,
2.5, right?
Yep, 2.5 is what I'm seeing so far.
And Florida State, I think, is going to be improved. But that's going to be all eyes are going to be on Brian Kelly and how, like Luke said, how he's going to do in the SEC. So I look for that as a measuring stick, maybe a little bit for how that team's going to be, you know, because after that they got Southern, which they'll obviously win, but then they got Mississippi State. They got to go to Auburn. They got to go to Florida. Arkansas, they play Alabama. I mean, I don't know, 6.5. What do you think, Luke?
I know they recruit a lot of athletes, but they're just depleted in some areas that are like really important, like the offensive line, the secondary. I mean, those are two very important positions, as we know. But I'm going to stay away from that one because obviously everyone's going to think that I have a biased opinion just because I don't like him. So I'm going to stay away from that one. I won't give any opinion.
I would lean to the over for them. I actually have heard a lot of pro bettors giving them out as an under.
As
an under seven. I'd lean to the over just a little bit. Not, I don't love it by any means, but I think they could start the season out maybe 6-0 if some things break their way. But, I'd lean over, if anything, on them. But moving on to the Gamecocks of South Carolina. This is a team I can't get a handle on this team. I haven't for a couple of years. I can't figure this team out. If I bet them, they get their ass beat. If I don't bet them, they play great. I don't know. You guys got any insight on this team? I couldn't find a whole lot.
I like them. I think Rattler, I think he's a good bet for Heisman. I know it didn't turn out last year, but they also, his tight end who was there last year, Austin Stogner, whatever you say his name is, he was good for one of his main targets last year. He transferred with him, but this offensive line did allow 31 sacks last year, and if they can't get that fixed, then I don't like them at all. But I think he's a good Heisman bet. I think he's still good, and he just had a rough year last year.
That Rattler, that is?
Yes.
I think there's a good case to be made for that. I looked at their schedule. I thought around between 5-7, right where their win total is, 6. Like I said, I can't get a gauge on this team. Coach?
They're going to be a dog in 6 of their 12 games. So, obviously, Vegas set the number right where you don't like it to be. It makes you uncomfortable.
Yep.
I'm not heavy on South Carolina either. They've never been good to me in the betting world, but – if I had to bet them, I would bet them under the total, under their total of 6. Yeah. But I'm not sold either way on it.
Right, and like you just mentioned, Vegas put it right around the 6.
Uncomfortable number.
But here's a word to the wise. Again, we hope that you learn. If you're just new to this, just try to learn a little bit each week. So we try to give you little tidbits. But remember, they have to put these numbers up. You don't have to bet them. So if you don't feel good about it, don't feel like you have to. So please remember that. Self-control. Take it from two guys here who struggle with that on a Saturday night.
Yeah, I was just going to say, don't be like us on a Saturday and you have to bet every game on the book.
Don't charge your phone, let your phone die or something, just so you don't bet any more than you need to. Stay away from teams like South Carolina unless you really feel good about
it. Pick out your couple big SEC loves and lay a little bit on them, and then either lay off or just fiddle around with the other one just to have something to root for each
week. You don't have to bet it. So, all right, moving on to this is a team that I really, really like, Kentucky Wildcats.
I do too.
Very high on them. The only thing that worries me about them is they are getting a lot of hype from people media-wise. Many people mentioning they love them over the total. They're talking about upset victories over teams like Georgia. I don't know if I'm going to go that far yet, but I do think Mark Stoops is a good coach. I think this program is going in the right direction, and I thought that they had a good defense, and they're starting to show some signs of being able to score a little bit. Luke, thoughts on the Wildcats?
Will Levis, Will Levis, whatever, but he's a first-round caliber quarterback.
Yes.
They did lose Wandale Robinson at the receiver position, and they have a good running back in Chris Rodriguez, but losing 3 offensive line starters is going to hurt. But I agree with you guys. I'm high on Kentucky as well. And I'm actually glad they're a team that usually don't expect to be good in the SEC, but I'm glad we have a newcomer in the SEC that might take over as a team who might be relevant in the years coming.
Yeah, that is exciting to see a new team, a new face other than Alabama or Georgia coming up and coming. Like I said, Stoops has done a good job. And, he's got to keep up with Calipari down there. That's not easy. Coach, thoughts on the Wildcats?
After Calipari pissed him off and said this is a basketball school. I'm sure that didn't sit well. That didn't sit well at all with Stoops. But I do think he's a good coach.
Yes,
I think I like Kentucky also over the win total. Even though they've got a, well, just like everybody else, they've got a trying schedule. They got to go to Florida. They got to go to Ole Miss. They got to go to Tennessee. They got Georgia at home. They got a Mississippi State at home. But that's like Mississippi State's definitely a winnable game. Florida's definitely a winnable game. Tennessee's definitely a winnable game. So they could go 9-3.
I mean, they don't have to play Alabama. That helps.
Right. They could go 9-3.
I thought it was interesting, and I'm not advocating for this, but I thought 55-1 to win the SEC. You never know. Maybe they get to the championship game somehow. Yeah. Things break their way, and then you're in a position where you can either hedge, like we talked about several weeks ago, and try to lock a profit in with whoever they're playing out of the other side. But I don't know. I'd get a little bold with them. I think that they have a high ceiling. So I think we're all kind of on top of Kentucky here.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd recommend a look towards that over of 8 if you can find it out there.
I agree with
8.5 is a stretch to get to 9, but I like it. I think 9 because you but the 8 you get a push if they weren't able to get to it.
And,
so
and I think they push for at least second place in that side of the SEC.
Yeah.
I look for them to be in the hunt, and they're going to be a fun team to watch and to cheer for too. I like them.
Agreed. All right, moving on to the Florida Gators, the once proud Florida Gators. They've fallen on hard times. This team still gets players. They always have talent. Any thoughts on the Gators? Any good feelings, Luke?
Billy Napier, I do like him. Yep. And also Anthony Richardson, I'm not sold at him and on at the quarterback position.
Yeah, doesn't it seem like Florida has not had a good quarterback in so long?
Exactly.
They struggled to have anybody to even – I mean, they had the – what's his name – a guy that I was
Tebow?
Against. No, after him. Just a couple years ago. He went to the Falcons. I was against him every week. Shoot, I'll think of his name eventually.
I just don't think this team's just – the defense allowed 27 points per game last year. And like you said, they're always known for quarterbacks that can run, and they're horrible at passing the ball.
Yes.
So it's – I don't know with them. It's kind of a question mark with them. If that defense can step up, they have a chance of pulling the over. But I don't know with them. What do you guys think?
I think Napier's a good coach coming from Louisiana. I mean, but this is a big step up to him. I mean, he's never been in games like this, and he doesn't get any favors done to him by the previous coach who scheduled this game against Utah to open up.
Yeah,
in
right.
The swamp. I mean Utah, Kentucky to start the year.
Yeah, that's a tough start. And then the fourth game's at Tennessee. Yeah. I mean, we're not sold on Tennessee, but still. Right. When you got to go on the road in the SEC, you know that's 3 out of 4 very difficult games to start the season. So I'm not sold on Florida. I'm not a Florida fan at all.
Yeah, 7 seems high to me. I went through. I thought maybe 5 wins. They could maybe get to 6. 7 is a big stretch to me.
I agree.
I don't know. I don't see enough. I'm not saying Napier's bad. He could improve them. They could be decent by the end of the year, but. That's a tough start. I think going 0-2 to start the year is a very good possibility. So I would pass on Florida. I don't love them. Florida just, man, it used to be a really good program, and it's fallen on hard times. But we'll see if Napier can get him on track here. Yep. It might take him a year or two, but, you know, watch and see.
I agree.
Moving on to another team who used to be pretty good, buried down in the rankings here, Auburn. This coach right here of Auburn, he's the favorite at most books that have it listed for first coach fired, so that's not a good sign.
Brian Harsin?
Yes, not a good sign. Not a good sign at all. I don't know. Auburn, you know, I always liked them just from a fan standpoint. I always thought their field was cool. I thought their pageantry at their games was pretty neat, but I find it tough to get excited about this team.
They lost the last 5 games of the year, their last 4 regular season in a bowl game.
The good news is Bo Nix is out west.
Yeah. Well, you hated him, Luke, didn't you?
No, actually, I think
you like Bo Nix? No, Matt, you didn't like him.
We just beat on because he just – in the big games, he just made so many mistakes on the road. Yeah, exactly. He couldn't go into hostile territory and do anything.
When he was in Auburn, though, he looked like a Heisman quarterback.
I thought he was going to be better than he did. I probably was one of the people saying, look out, Bo Nix is going to be really good. And, yeah, on the road, a totally different guy.
Listen, if you look at their schedule, too, I mean, again, schedules are tough. And, you know, it's always – the SEC's always a grind. But, man, you look at their schedule. They get Penn State is one of their out-of-conference games. That's no picnic. Then LSU, they got to go to Georgia. They got to go to Ole Miss. They got to go to Mississippi State. And they got to go to Alabama.
Yeah.
And they got A&M at home. That is a very, very difficult schedule.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Don't see them. I don't see them getting over their win total. I don't know what you guys think.
No, I think even their home field advantage at Jordan-Hare Stadium is kind of been taken away from them in recent years. Luke, what do we know about them quarterback-wise? Do we have any idea who's going to emerge as their guy?
I don't. I just know the only highlight on offense is Tank Bigsby. He's good.
He's pretty good.
He's a really good running back. He'll run through you. But this defense, they're always known, I feel like, having a good defense. This defense just allowed about 3 touchdowns per game last year. So I think defense and running the ball will try to get them through some wins. But quarterback, it's just
– I'm reading. Do you know this kid, Texas A&M transfer Zach Calzada?
Yes. Is it Zale Calzada?
Well, it says Zach. But, I mean, it could be a misprint.
Yes. He wasn't horrible at A&M. Yeah.
If he's – I said, I think, 1 week, or maybe it was this show, about A&M, they haven't had a good quarterback in years either.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if I feel very good about Auburn, but it'd be nice to see Auburn be decent because they are. It is a fun time to watch a game as the mower cranks up here.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome to the outdoors. All right, moving on to
we got birds, mowers, dogs barking.
Everything.
Hey, it's football season.
The wind, the smell's in the air.
Jub
it's cool out here.
His head.
For the first time, I'm not sticking to the stool
Jub
here.
Jub gets frustrated at all the distractions that happen.
He's a perfectionist.
Took our poor dog in the house.
Yeah.
Evie was just protecting us. So man, who we
moving on to the Bulldogs, Mississippi State. This is the team. It's close to Nick's heart here with his buddy Mike Leach. Does he still like Mississippi State?
Well, it depends.
He gives them out. Remember that game he gave them out? They scored 2 points in the game as an over. Was that an over bet?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was poor Nick.
I think he still likes Leach. He's a big Mike Leach fan.
Sure. I don't know. I think it's make or break year for Leach here. I haven't seen enough out of him yet. He's been good. He's been okay, I guess. I don't even want to say good, but I don't know. 6.5 posted win total for them. I found it too tough to call. What say you, boys?
They got Will Rogers, the quarterback position. He's solid.
Wasn't he a cowboy? You probably don't even know that reference, Luke. Sorry.
No, you're fine. But they do return 8 starters on the defensive side of the ball, which is very key, and especially in the SEC. So I like that, but there's just not enough to know about them, about the over-under. But I do like Mike Leach.
Yeah, I mean – He at least brings a little bit of credibility. I just found it weird about their games. Like, Coach, did you notice some of their games, it would be like 1 week they would play tremendous, and then the next week they were complete no-show. Like, it was like they didn't even game plan. It was weird. I don't know. I found too many holes like that in their performances.
Yeah, well, you know, they lost to Memphis.
Right.
Then they got beat by LSU.
Yep.
Then they turned around, beat A&M.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, exactly what you're saying. So, I'm not sold on him, and then according to some metrics, they have the toughest schedule in the country. So
yes, I've heard many people say that.
Yeah, so if you look at their schedule, man, it is murderer's row.
Yeah, game will be interesting against Memphis.
Oh yeah, you know, and you got to go to LSU, then Bowling Green, but then you got A&M, Arkansas, at Kentucky, at Bama, Auburn, at Ole Miss. I mean, they're
Georgia
very difficult.
Too.
Yeah, Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah, very difficult schedule.
Yeah, I would lean toward the under if I had to make a choice here, the 6.5. I just think they're really going to have to take a step up offensively and just more consistency-wise, just being able to show up each week. Any closing thoughts on the Bulldogs, Luke?
No, I agree with you guys with the schedule. I would probably take the under as well.
Yeah. So we'll see what Nick says. He'll probably be telling us to bet Memphis in that first game when they're they'll be laying some points against Memphis. Memphis might be somebody to keep an eye on in that game. That could be.
Yeah. If they're getting 15, if
one.
Memphis getting 15.
Yeah, if it gets pushed might... over 2 touchdowns, yeah, I think yep, maybe yep. take a shot. All right, winding down here, another team has been a struggle since they – you got to wonder what the president and people involved in Missouri were thinking when they came to this conference.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it's a shame because Missouri was actually doing pretty well out in the Big 12 country. They were okay.
Yeah,
they had some decent teams.
They don't belong in the
they don't. It's evident every week. I mean, there's a definite difference in talent level there. So, the Tigers are up against it this year. What are thoughts on them?
They did lose their starting quarterback to Indiana, which is pretty sad that you lose him to Indiana.
Right.
But Tyler Beattie, the all-purpose yards leader in the SEC, they lost him as well. But they do welcome a 5-star receiver in Luther Burden, who can hopefully help out with a lot of them yards that they lost last year. So I don't know about Missouri. I mean, they're just no quarterback play again. No quarterback play. You're not gonna do good if you don't have a good quarterback.
Have they had a good quarterback since Chase Daniel? He's been in the pros.
Drew Locke.
Oh, jeez, yeah, I already forgot about him. God. Well, I guess you're going to be dependent on Drew Locke this year for your Seahawks. Though.
I actually think it's going to be, Geno Smith.
No, really?
Pete Carroll said he's the clear starter right now.
Oh, Luke, I'd be retracting that. On the scroller here, you can see Luke's over pick maybe or Seattle. But, Coach, what are your thoughts on Missouri? Five and a half win total.
This is going to be – you're not going to believe this, but I'm looking at their schedule. I think they're going to – I think they could get over 5.5 just looking at their schedule. I mean –
If do you think that Kansas State game is going
to
be a big one?
That's going to be the key game, I think, to see if they can get over that 5.5 because they should beat Louisiana Tech, but you never know. Yeah. And then Abilene Christian.
And Vandy.
And then they have New Mexico State. They got Vandy. So they might – if I was going to bet them, I would probably bet them over –
Yeah,
the total.
No, I would agree. If I had to make a pick, I would probably say over two because I feel like there's a better chance they get to six than they stay at four.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Okay. Well, that should be another one to watch there. Missouri. Teams like Missouri just baffle me every week. You can't ever get a read on a team like that. I don't know. Well, maybe we'll see what's the coach's name?
Sounds Russian.
He's like
Drinkwitz.
Seen his third year.
Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah, don't know much about him. So he's 9-13 ATS in his time there. So he's got to get working on that if he's going to please us. So on to the
and
last.
The Commodores.
The doormats, the smartest school in the league.
They open up in week zero at Hawaii.
Yeah. This game was interesting to me just from a line standpoint. Vanderbilt opened in this game -2.5. Now it's up to 7. So that's interesting.
They're giving 7?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Hawaii, I don't know if you've heard, they've had a lot of turmoil in the program. Guys leaving.
I'm still not betting Vanderbilt.
Vandy laying 7? You don't feel good about that?
No.
They haven't won an SEC game since 2019.
Ooh.
When's the last time you think they laid 7 in a game?
Boy, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, because I had that on there as a big a steam move that I thought was worth keeping an eye on.
They scored almost under 16 points per game in the SEC, and then they also gave up about 40 points a game. That's not going to work.
No, and like Coach was saying, the schedule. I mean, look at the Hawaii and Elon. Maybe they go 2-0. How about that? If you got them over 2, you start out. You need one more the rest of the year. But then week 3 though is interesting. Now, Sam Hartman is not playing in that game. Wow, that could be interesting. Maybe they can get there. I don't know. Doubtful.
Northern Illinois, I think they'll beat them.
Well, Northern Illinois is the best team in the MAC, so that would worry me. Yeah. Plus, if it's cold, and I don't know. I thought that at first, too, but then I remembered that Northern Illinois it was pretty good. Commodores could be a tough go for them, but we'll see.
You know what? That's my heavy steam, actually, just looking at their schedule. Vandy over is my pick of the year in the SEC.
Wow, I like
that was
it.
Like Vandy me giving over. Kansas. That was like me giving Kansas over.
So here's the question. Who wins more games, Vandy, Duke, or Kansas?
Ooh. Vandy.
Kansas.
Go Commodore.
Kansas. All right, and I guess I got to take Duke then.
And my best play in the SEC is Georgia week one over laying the 17 over Oregon. That's my best
and
point.
my pick is Kentucky over their win total. I really like that
Luke,
a lot.
And you're giving Vandy
go Commodores.
All right,
we'll be back in a couple minutes and we're going to talk about the NFC East. Dallas Cowboys, oh boy, here we go.
Oh, my papers blew everywhere.
Reminder: Bettors Last Stand is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activity should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. You're watching Bettors Last Stand.
All right, welcome back into Bettors Last Stand, episode 5. I'm going to talk some NFC East as Coach gets a refill. Actually, kind of this weather feels like it's about that time. And say, beer, need one? Yeah, everybody running to the icy cold cooler over there. Real quick, remember, follow us on social media at the Pine Room Podcast. Contact at the Pine Room Podcast email us your thoughts about the show. Again, we've got a lot of good feedback about this Bettors Last Stand show, so I'm really happy about how it's gone so far, and we'll keep getting better. And if there's things you want to talk about from a betting perspective you're not sure of, please reach out to the show and let us know what you're thinking. Check out the pineroomshop.com, where you can get all your Pine Room swag, your Bettors Last Stand shirts, your Champ signature shirts. Jubb's always hard at work increasing our offerings on that, so check that out. We're at Generations on Wednesday, 6-8, with high school football, so be sure and come on out and grab a sandwich, get some beers, enjoy the high school football talk. Should be a fun night there. Thanks again to Lauren the Better. We had her on last week. It was really fun talking about her and Coach going head-to-head. They got a bet, a side bet, in UCLA under and over. She's under. He's over 8, and they're betting a Fresno State shirt if he wins and a Pine Room shirt if she wins. So we'll keep an eye on that as we get closer. Should be fun. We really enjoyed that with Lauren, and we wish her all the best.
Absolutely. And we got Tony Chiazza coming on here soon as we wrap up here. We got to change sets and move to our bigger set and get one of the most renowned officials now in the NCAA. We're excited to talk to Tony here, a local guy who's worked hard and worked his way up the ladder and has worked a ton of NCAA big-time games, all the big conferences. So we're excited for that, and we're going to talk a little NFL, Matt.
Yeah, NFC East, always a popular division just because of Dallas. You know, Washington at one point was good. Philadelphia's up and coming, and the Giants are the Giants. So anyway, jumping right in, let's go to Dallas. Posted win total 10 for the Cowboys. They're plus 140 favorites to win the NFC East, 9-1 to win the NFC, and 20-1 to win the Super Bowl. I would never, ever, ever bet this team in any capacity. No. I think Mike McCarthy's one of the worst coaches in the NFL. and I think it showed. They had 17 penalties in the preseason game after leading the NFL last year.
Actually, it was 20. Not to miss, it was 22.
Well, they accepted, or 22 actually called on them, and they accepted 17. Yeah. Wow, that's really, really bad. So, I don't know. I'm way down on Dallas. I still think they maybe could get their 10 wins. I think this team is totally dependent on Prescott. I think that Zeke Elliott's overrated. I don't know. Defense is okay, but I just have no faith in McCarthy. If I had to make a pick about them, I do like CeeDee Lamb. I like his numbers, his touchdowns, and his yardage over. I think he'll be a workhorse for them. So, thoughts, guys?
Go ahead, Luke. I think, actually, I got a little hot take here. I think Tony Pollard should be starting over Zeke Elliott, in my opinion.
Agreed. I was going to say that.
But also just losing – Gallup won't be there at the beginning of the year, recovering from that ACL injury. Losing Mari Cooper to the Browns.
Yes, big loss.
They do have a good tight end, but just the defense, losing Randy Gregory. The Cowboys always choke. Actually,
they do.
They always start off good, then they always choke in the playoffs, or they just won't make the playoffs. So, I think they'll start off 0-2 with the Buccaneers and Bengals to start the season. So, I think the we.
Although I will say, when we talk about the North, the Bengals, they could. Burrow's got some lingering issues with his appendix, so I think they might. The Bengals, if you're going to beat the Bengals, it might be early on, but we'll see. Dallas, I have no faith in. Coach, what say you?
I'm not a fan of Dallas. Never been a fan. These guys take Zeke Elliott high in a fantasy draft. I've always faded him heavy. I just don't think he's that. I don't think he's worth it. I don't like him. I think Dak is good, but as Luke said, losing those receivers, I think I think they're going to not struggle, but in that division, that's not a very good division.
Right. All they got to do is kind of tread water, and they still could get over their total. But I have no confidence in Mike McCarthy. I think he's one of the most overrated coaches. I thought that was a weird hire for them. I feel like a guy he's basically robbing a bank every time he gets a paycheck because I don't know. He won one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, but that was pretty much Aaron Rodgers, not him. But I don't know. I'm down on Dallas. I don't love them. Like I say, CeeDee Lamb would be the only guy. And I do think Prescott's all right, and they'll live or die with him because if he goes down, they might not win two games. They're going to be really bad if Dak gets hurt. No. Who's their backup quarterback? Do we know? Oh, Cooper Rush, though. I just looked at it.
Hell yeah.
God help him if that happens. So, all right, moving on. None of us are real high on Dallas.
Chris, what do you think of the Cowboys?
I think they're the best team in that division.
Okay. Chris says they're the best.
I don't know enough about it, but Matt said he likes Philly.
Chris is more of a high school guy.
I like Philly's talent, but we'll talk about them in a moment.
Chris is a heavy high school guy.
Bellsville. Yeah, he's huge. He'll be at Bellsville next week. Make sure you say hi to him.
Bellsville Blue Devils? Blue Devils.
Yeah. Moving on to the Brian Daboll takes over the New York Giants. And Giants have been really bad the last few years. I feel like they got some roster upgrades. I thought that they drafted really good. I thought that Thibodeau guy was really good, and then they got the Neal, the offensive tackle from Bama.
Yes.
I feel like those are upgrades. I still don't know about Daniel Jones.
If Saquon can stay healthy, that's the other thing.
Why do these teams draft these running backs so damn high? I don't get it. They don't hold up. I don't know. Don't feel good about them. I think their defense will be improved. Wink Martindale's their defensive coordinator, former Ravens guy, so should bring a little credibility to them. They are win total 7 right now. Division odds 8-1, 60-1 to win the NFC, and 130-1 to win the Super Bowl.
100%, in my opinion, they finish 4th in that division. Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I just think they'll finish 4th in that division, especially if Barkley doesn't last.
Right.
If he lasts and Daniel Jones can have a decent year, they may challenge the Eagles to and their skins to get out of the cellar, but I think they'll be 4th.
I had their range between 4 and 9.
Yes.
Luke?
I like their over, honestly. I like Thibodeau. I think he'll be defense player of the year, in my opinion. And also, I heard Saquon's having a really good preseason.
I heard that, too.
And I think he's just waiting to have a great year. And I think he's a good bet to be a touchdown leader, a rushing yard leader. I think he's going to have a breakout year this year, especially with new offensive linemen. And also, I'm high on Daniel Jones. I think he gets disrespected.
I like Daniel Jones.
But someone who robbed the Giants is Kenny Golladay. He sucks.
I was just going to ask you about what you thought about their receivers. So Kenny Golladay's got a gun and a ski mask on Fridays when he gets a paycheck. Yeah. Okay, I can see that. I don't know. I think the Giants will be a little bit better, I do think. Question marks, obviously, with Barkley. Defense improved. O-line improved. Brian Daboll is a good coordinator, but can he be a head coach? We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the Philadelphia Eagles. They're the hot team in this division. They're getting a lot of hype right now, and I think they got a great roster, but I am not sold at quarterback at all.
Yeah.
Fantasy wise, I think Jalen Hurts was good, but
yeah, I had him by default last year, and he was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, he was incredible.
I don't know. I don't think he can throw the ball down the field, but my goodness, the weapons this guy's gotten. And they add Jordan Davis in the middle of the defense.
Yes.
I mean, goodness. Philly's 9.5 posted win total, plus 160. They're the second choice to win the division, 11-1 to win the NFC, and 22-1 to win the Super Bowl. I had one bet that I did like here. I like Jalen Hurts over 10.5 interceptions. I think that's a great bet. And I'm not saying he's terrible. But I think they'll throw the ball a lot more than they have in the past. So
agreed.
He had 9 last year, so I think 10.5, and they got guys. He's going to be forced to throw it to these receivers they got. So thoughts, guys?
I like their schedule as far as over the win total. I think they'll go over the win total based on their schedule. Their schedule is not very difficult. I can see them. I see them winning. What is their total?
9.5.
That's what
right
I thought
now,
it was. 9.5. I can see them winning 11. Or 12 games with the schedule they have. So I like them. As you said, they got tremendous weapons that they added for Hurts.
They bring in A.J. Brown, and they already had Devontae Smith, and they got Goddard, the tight end. Or
Goddard.
He's good. I like them, and I'm a bigger Jalen Hurts fan than you, Matt.
I don't think he's bad. I just feel like the unproven. We'll see. This is his year. If he can't get it done this year, then they'll move on from him. And they do got Saze Boy. Don't they have him as the backup? Garner Minshew? Isn't he their backup?
Yes,
he's not a bad backup.
No, I like him as a backup.
Yeah, so. I lost money on him, though, because of Say.
I like the over, though, honestly. I mean, I think
I do, too.
I think Devontae Smith's a great bet to be like one of the top 5 in receiving yards. I think he's going to have a breakout year, especially with the keying on A.J. Brown. Issue here, in my opinion, is running back. They got a lot of running backs, but they don't have an established
Sanders,
running back one.
He always is hurt.
I heard, is it Miles Gainwell? It's like Gainwell.
Kenneth Gainwell?
Kenneth Gainwell's he's getting first-team reps right now, so Sanders isn't even first-team, so... They got Darius Slay and James Bradbury, the 2 corners.
Yeah,
that's
no,
solid.
They upgraded. Really I had good. Both those guys highlighted too. I think they upgraded at their slot corner too with that Hassan Reddick too. So.
Yeah,
I do think the Eagles are the most talented team in this division. I could make a case for them. It's just going to depend on Hurts. If he can make the plays in the big games, I'm anxious to see.
They got N'Kobe Dean too from Georgia.
Yep,
that's,
another
I
guy
I've kind of
forgotten
that.
About. He dropped to the 3rd round. Yeah. Just a great leader. Just
Chris,
overall,
you like the Eagles?
Really good player. Yeah. Chris says thumbs up on the Eagles.
Say, well, what's Matt said about Mike McCarthy? I didn't
know
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, moving on to our final team. They'll always be the Washington Redskins.
I'm calling them the Redskins.
So anyway, Washington Commanders, Redskins football team, whatever you want to call it. This is no longer the 92 Redskins with Mark Rippon, Art Monk, and Gary Clark, and Ricky Sanders.
I think one of the other things the Redskins have lost, the Commanders have lost, they used to have an incredible home field advantage.
Yeah.
At RFK, they had an unbelievable home field.
Did you see what
field.
Their preseason tickets were?
Was it awful?
$1. They can get in the game for a dollar. The fans have given up on
They've given up. They've quit.
And my uncle, his brother, will tell you. They've given up. And he said that's the worst thing. They don't even hate the Snyder anymore. They've just
given
quit.
Up.
They just don't even care anymore.
I remember reading an article about the Pittsburgh Pirates when the fans will go from diehard fans to the upset fans to don't care.
Yeah.
And when you get into don't care area, that's dangerous.
Yes.
Because then they don't even bitch anymore. They just don't come.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that RFK home field advantage was, I've been to games over there against the Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, and it was
all the people dressing up like the Hogs and all
stuff. Literally, the stadium was shaking, and I'm not lying. I just would look around and say, oh my God. And they had a definite advantage, which they have totally lost. Because
Snyder was talking about moving the team to Virginia. And they got all kind of off the field issues. It's a shame. Obviously, a once proud franchise, and it would be nice to see them bounce back.
And you know, an interesting fact about them: the last 2 years, they've started out 2-6. The last 2 years.
Yep.
And I look at their schedule again, and if they start out like that again, they're going to be the same as they've been.
I have a different take on this team. I like this team. I think their defensive line is absolutely phenomenal, and they could really be dangerous. Still worried about quarterback with Wentz, but we'll see. Sam Howell's putting some pressure on him. Wentz is a little bit of an upgrade for them, and if he can play back the way he did his rookie year, you never know. But I would lean towards the over with Washington. I think that's probably going to be one of my favorite bets in this division anyway. Not sold on Ron Rivera. Find him to be plain and boring and just not a guy that wins big games.
The gambler.
Yeah, I don't know why they call him that. But
Well, no, no. Why they call him Riverboat?
Yeah, Riverboat Ron. Yeah.
Riverboat Ron. Yeah.
And Luke, thoughts?
I don't know with this team. They just didn't add enough, in my opinion. I mean, they were solid last year. Curtis Samuel and Terry McLaurin are going to be good, but Terry got his paycheck now. He could care less, I feel like. So, I don't know.
They drafted two kids from Alabama, the Mathis, the defensive tackle, and then Robinson, but I don't know how much he'll even play. I think their D-line's awesome, and I'm not a young – what's his name? Chase Young.
Yeah.
He's really good. If they stay healthy, they were hurt a lot last year.
Gibson.
Yes, I think their line could cause some havoc on some of these quarterbacks in this division. So I'd keep an eye on the Redskins. I like them over their eight if I had to make a pick.
Chris, what do you say?
Yeah.
Chris gives a
in-depth analysis there.
One thing I did notice is they're 0-7 on their last 7 Monday Night Football games, so that's not good. But that also goes into the stadium. People don't care. They don't go to the games anymore.
They don't care.
It's a shame. You can get into the game there for a dollar the other
night. That's
pathetic,
that's
actually.
That's sickening.
Yeah, all right, guys, let's wrap up the East here. Any last thoughts? I think my best bet for the East is going to be CeeDee Lamb over on touchdowns and yards if I was going to make a pick. And I also liked Hurts over 10.5 interceptions. What are your guys' best bets here?
I'm taking the Eagles over their win total. Eagles
I'm taking Saquon over yards and touchdowns.
Saquon over. Ooh. Okay.
And you can see our picks rolling on the scroll here. We'll add those to them and follow them as the season goes on. Those will be fun. Hopefully we'll have more wins than losses up there. You know, we're looking forward to
I can't wait till you guys start giving these Pine Room picks again. Jared helped me out this week. He picked a couple
of games. Oh, yeah. So no, I'm getting –
we got to get going on those.
I'm getting ready to get back.
9-8 this week, Jubb, so not bad. We're a little ahead. So,
Jubb, what's your feeling on the whole football coming up?
It's going to be a blast.
And do you look for anything in particular to happen this year?
A lot of upsets, a lot of dog winners.
So you're saying
5-4 offense?
No,
5-2. Five-two defense. Front.
I was thinking about a double play. All right.
Yeah. So you're saying hide the women and children. Look
all
out.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks to Jubb behind.
Yes.
The,
thanks
behind
to
the
Jubb.
Camera.
Thanks for Chris for the
thanks
support.
Thanks for Chris for the pizza too. He brought
yes,
us pizza.
Yes. Chris brought us dinner. We got to go get ready for Tony. So you're watching Better's Last Stand. I hope you enjoyed. We'll see you next week here in the Pine Room.
See ya.
Peace.